online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Z Nation fans! Welcome to another episode of the Z Nation After Buzz After Show. Today we are covering Season 2, Episode 15, All Good Things Must Come to an End.
Aww.
How did we get to the finale already? Right? When did that happen?
Friday night.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Thank you.
Well, we should probably go ahead and get the ball rolling, because we've got some fantastic special guests with us tonight. To my left, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. You can find me on Twitter, at Kia. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also keeping an eye on the live chat and the hashtag ABTVZNation. So if you got something fun to say or any questions for our guests, throw them in there. You may well get a shout-out.
Please do. We love hearing from you guys. Michelle Cullen.
Hello, everyone. You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen. It is my name. It's pretty sweet.
It is indeed.
Did you run out of name jokes?
I did.
And I cannot have another.
It's so hard to find them.
Well, we have one of our very special guests, Russell Hodgkinson, who plays Doc on the show. He's joining us again. You were joining us on the finale last season.
Yes.
Now you're back again.
It just worked out that way. How cool. Hey, all you after buzzards and Z-whackers.
After buzzards. I love it. I'm keeping it.
Yes. That, yay, let's
hashtag after buzzards.
After whackers.
Maybe not a good plan to go with that one.
Yeah,
and now we hit after buzz, after dark territory.
Exactly. And also joining us on the couch, the showrunner and co-writer of this episode, Carl Schaefer.
Hello, everyone.
And also co-writer of this episode, Daniel Schaefer.
How's it going, everyone?
Now, how is everybody tonight? Because it's now that a couple days has passed since the finale's aired, how has it all sunk in yet that the season is wrapped up? Or does it not feel that way? Because you guys went right back to work.
Well, it's funny. The season felt really long. I went back and looked at episodes 5 and 6, and it seemed like it was another season ago.
Yeah.
So much has happened
yeah.
this season, and the characters have changed so much over the arc of the season. But on the other hand, we're already back in the writer's room, and we just turned over the last episode at the last second last week. So it just seems like one big apocalypse.
No, it's like I started on SAF in December of last year and haven't stopped Z-Nationing until essentially the last 5 minutes of the live tweet the other night. But we're still in the room, so...
So basically, yeah. Holiday season, you guys are just going to collapse for a little bit.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, essentially.
All right,
that sounds like a really good plan for holiday season.
Yeah.
I think we're all just going to be like, nope.
Agreed. So, getting to the episode itself, initial thoughts, because this was kind of a hell of a... I will say it's not death from above season finale, but this was a really interesting way to kind of leave off with all of our different characters. Everybody's in very, very unique situations that was unlike the way things were left off last season.
Oh, yeah, just... skipping right to the end, talking about that cliffhanger. It's on everyone's mind. Let's do it. I feel like this one was almost worse than last season because it's much, much more personal. Last season was, well, if we don't get renewed for season 2, this is quite literally how the world ends. Ta-da! And this one's like, no, you are invested. See you next year.
Yep.
Dun,
so
dun,
it's a very different sort of... It's not rocks fall, everyone dies. It's like, no, we have you by the heartstrings now. You're coming with us.
Yeah. Playing them like a harp.
Dance puppets dance.
Are you sure it wasn't more like a metal guitar with the things
hurts.
That are breaking? And the
air guitar.
Yeah.
It was... I agree wholeheartedly with that. Season 1 finale was very much a, well, everybody is facing some nukes. This is pretty unified.
Literally the nuclear option.
Yep. Just the nuclear option. And then this finale, it took me a couple times watching it to appreciate everything that was happening at the end because I was just so excited Emilio's
life. I just love that doing the Rambo thing off into the wilderness like, bye!
That. There was was a lot to pay attention to this time around. But yeah, we have about 5 or 6 integral different things happening at once that you're like, no, but I love them. No, but I love them. No, but I want... I made a lot of noises watching the season 2 finale.
That's sort of what we go by. Our testing is if everybody's making the same noise in the audience at the same time.
The panic squeal is a good sign.
Right.
That
or gasp. Yep. They all gasp.
It's the herd around the world.
For me, this season finale is a little bit more existential than last season because we have, you know, Citizen Z looking up at the sky last season going, well, freaking apocalypse, man. But this one, everything is so uncertain and not in a way of like, oh, that's impending doom right above us. Because Murphy is riding off into the sunset. Vasquez rode off into the sunset.
Everybody ran off into the trees. That's a little different.
like an antelope.
It was a beautiful gazelle motion up the hill. With his weapon.
Got those Vasquez feels? We see a lot of those on our social media. Hashtag Vasquez gets a little steamy.
I shouldn't have found it as funny as I did, but I found it hysterical. Starting with the rolling the picture up in the bandana, like, you're going to ruin that picture.
it's going to get real sticky.
I appreciated the symbology behind that motion in these
symbology.
Two yeah, I made up a word. It's a beautiful word.
I like it.
Hashtag
I
totally symbology. Got it. Thank you, Carl.
I totalitarian got it.
That's actually a word already, though.
Yeah, but it's been
you
got to
make up a word.
Way.
Everybody's goal for this episode is to make up a word. I'm winning.
So far.
Yeah. Michelle won.
I already had a hashtag.
Well, anyway, so talking about being on the set, because a few of you guys were on the set for this finale, I want to know, how did it feel wrapping up this season in comparison to last season?
Well, I'm just a little sad thinking about it, just being here thinking about it, because I don't feel like the group is ever going to be the same again. And so, I don't know, just hearing about the... thinking about the last episode, yeah. I'm a little sad about it.
Yeah, there are a lot of changes.
Well, it's also, as far as crew is concerned, we actually shot 2:15 second to last. We shot episode 14 last in the chronology so we could do the flashback looks and cut everyone's hair.
Yeah, I was going to say, there were quite a few alterations in the last episode.
And it was definitely interesting shooting the finale. And actually, looking back at my pictures the other day, I realized... we shot the Murphy goodbye scene was like our first day on set too, so it was like all of these like heavy moments were actually kind of oddly out of order.
That was a hard scene too.
We
rewrote that a bunch of times and Murphy and
The one that,
yeah, and all you guys had different opinions about what you wanted to say
wanted
to each
give,
other.
Yeah,
and,
I wanted
and
to give him the seaweed and right. Thanks for letting me do that.
Right. No, it was tough to figure out what everybody would actually say to each other and how they would react and how they wouldn't say anything.
Exactly.
Initially, everybody had like big speeches that they said to everybody that we wrote, and then we just kept cutting it down and changing it.
Yeah.
Till eventually it just gets to be like a nod between him and Addie.
Yeah.
But you understand the whole thing.
But it's so cool and so gratifying as an actor to know that we've got that kind of leeway and that you guys always got our back and you're open to our ideas as, you know, and everybody's input. It's all collective. And
well, we've lucked out with such a creative cast and just being able to like go through, like even on set, like being able to make these quick changes. Like Russell and I, like one of my favorite lines in the whole finale that was just like, Russell and I like couldn't find the right words for when he walks in and sees Lorena, and so we just like, that's not right. Hold on, listen. And we just like bounced back and forth and ended up with
"Ding dong, the bitch is dead,"
which is my favorite line of the season. And like,
Michelle pointed out while we were watching it, it's like one final Wizard of Oz reference.
It was a little bit of closure to that whole Lorena experience.
Nice little bookend.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. But yeah, every cast member that we've had on this season has had nothing but really good things to say about the collaborative nature of this show. And
that's the truth. That's because that's the truth of it.
Well, it's the only way we get the show done. Yeah. It's like if there was like one person dragging their feet, we wouldn't get through the episodes. Mm-hmm. And a goal from the very beginning of the show was that I wanted to make sure the audience felt like we were having fun, like if they could tell that we were cracking up behind camera, and that, and I think a lot of our fans would just as much like to work on the show as they would be in the show. You know, they'd like to come be a makeup person or, you know, blowing things up or one of our effects people or something like that.
And our crew has the most fun of, like, a very professional, hardworking crew who are putting in this
insane amount of work. Well, when you let them have alcohol. that right there.
But yeah, but even just, like getting to spend as much time on set, because in addition to the writing, I've been the set photographer for season two, and getting to see every little facet of it, really in documenting the behind the scenes, you realize, like, everyone's having a ton of fun putting stuff together. Like, even stuff as simple as the logo, the original logo for Z-Weed, was something that, like, it was a family effort. It was one of our lead design guys had his kids help design it. And it's like, like, it's a very family, like, the every aspect of the crew, from the two of us down to, like, the Giles or half of our crew seemed to be, like, this one family.
Well, it's because it is family. Yeah, I mean, it really it's one big family. It really is.
Well, the show is so... you know, sort of low budget and quickly shot and everything, that everybody has to chip in, because we're not like a normal show where you have enough money to build a set or to have the exact right costume or, you know, it's all like, what can we possibly get done in time? And it's like everybody has to chip in and have the ideas and we take ideas from all of them, you know, and just incorporate it all in. So. Even the grips are funny on our
show. Yeah.
We got the best grips in the world. Oh,
grip
my God.
Z,
those
baby.
Guys.
Hashtag grip Z.
Hashtag grip Z.
They're hilarious.
Shout
love
out.
Them.
Yeah,
gotta love them.
We talked to a couple people, and most people have said the most challenging thing about this season has just been the time. Like, the turnaround time for every single episode. It's just so quick and so fast-paced that you guys just have no time to be dragging your feet, as you said.
Right, right. Well, and every episode, too, was just like there was some big... challenge that we had, like, okay, in this episode 10,000 zombies are going over a cliff, or in this episode a giant wheel of cheese is gonna, and we had no idea when we're saying this stuff, like, how we're gonna do it, or if it's even, you know, so the crew would get really nervous every week and not know that we had been planning a lot of these things, because it's, I mean, you know, it's like we think it up in the writer's room, like, there'll be a giant wheel of cheese, but we've been thinking about it for 9 months by the time we get around to shooting it and have it all sort of figured out, but the crew always doesn't know that when they read the script the first time. It's like,
now
we in for this time.
Now that the season is complete, is there anything about season two that you guys were kind of hoping would make it in, but ended up being cut for time or it just didn't work? Is there anything looking back that you would change?
Well, actually, the opening, here's a little... It's not a spoiler, but some news. We're doing a 2-hour special episode as, like, the intro for season three. Mm-hmm. But it's actually the episode. We were nowhere near this episode from season two. So it's going to be a flashback episode from early in season two. And that will set up characters and things that are going to happen in season three. So yeah, we did there, and it's all the stuff we would have done if we had any idea what season three was going to be. But now that we do,
well, you know, you just didn't tell us.
That's true. So yeah, exactly. We're going. Well, there'll be a 2-hour movie. That's all the stuff we couldn't cram into season three.
That's so exciting.
Cool. I'm sincerely looking forward to that.
Oh, it's a great... It's going to be a good episode.
Yeah, so we're co-writing that this season. So I'm writing 1 hour and he's writing the other. So we're having another little father-son show. That'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Then, again, very fitting that we end and then that's the way we start for the next one. I like it. So do you guys want to talk about this opening action sequence?
Yes.
A little bit. Because we meet Auntie... who is just a gem. She's just the best.
She's great.
She was so much fun. Jane Taney. She was fantastic to have on set.
I didn't trust her at the end of last episode, and then by about 5 minutes into this one, it was like, yep, this person. Please join
you.
The party.
Uh-huh. Everyone's got that aunt at Thanksgiving, the one with the Uzi under the table. Just
Not at the she, Thanksgiving.
When she pulled that rack and the whole
rack, all these guns come down.
That was a surprise to the cast. We
really? You guys didn't know that?
We didn't know. And suddenly she pulled it. We're like, oh, shit.
So well, that was a sincere reaction.
Yeah, it was a sincere reaction.
Wonderful. That was a collaboration between me, the props guy, and the stunt guy all trying to rig this thing up like for an hour or so the day before and not getting it to work. And then finally we realized, like, oh, wait, we can just drop it. Yeah. So just had her pull this and just literally like Alex Terziev, who has been our Fido zombie, he's our head stunt guy and just does way too much on the show. It's just like his arm is just out of frame and just lets go of it. Bam!
Very low-tech solution.
It worked, though.
It worked. I mean,
it worked and it was effective. Mm-hmm. But we have another group of bounty hunters coming in at the exact same time, claiming that they also have the Murphy.
Itchy and scratchy.
Just a zombie.
Wait, what?
No, it wasn't itchy. Yeah, at least one of the other writers and I referred to them as itchy and scratchy. But then they ended up being like nearsighted, like bald dude. I don't remember.
Oh, the names of the characters. Yeah.
What are we going to do tonight, Brain?
They were good, those guys. Good actors.
Oh, they were fantastic.
They were.
They were scary,
intimidating.
We had a lot of great, like, just guest cast.
Yeah, we did.
Local guys, sketchy people, you know, like guys that come in and play crazy people
or something like that. We had some really good performances.
We sure did.
All season long from local guest cast up there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great talent up in Spokane.
And Seattle.
Yeah, in Seattle.
Right, right. There were a lot of them coming out of
Seattle. Yeah, a lot of great extras this season. I always think back to episode 2 when it was just pure chaos of a whole bunch of bounty hunters running around and our main cast members, and you guys just didn't look like you had a chance to breathe the entire episode. There was so much going on.
About That's right. literal. I mean, that fight about killed me. I must tell you. I had my awesome out-of-body experience. That was so cool. So I didn't know how they were going to do that, but they got that really cool special effects guy.
Yeah.
I forget his name.
Jason McKee.
No, not Jason.
Oh, you mean the
friend of
the
Alex's.
Trapeze guy that
yeah,
flew
trapeze,
you.
Yeah, and put me on those straps, and they tilted me over as the camera showed me roll over to see my body, you know. And very cool little contraption I got in.
That sounds so cool.
But the fight itself was really physical. And
it was incredible.
And me and the other actor were just, you know, we're old, man. It was hard. It's like, we were dying.
I was in the room. I was actually about, like, 6 inches out of frame for that whole thing. And the room we were shooting in is barely bigger than this one. And they're just going full hard with, like two cameras with two guys to each camera. And I was literally laying, between the legs of our main camera guy, like, taking pictures. But yeah, that was one of my favorite fights all season.
That was one of my favorite episodes too. John Himes directed that, and it was
directed this one as well.
Yeah. That episode was the apocalypse America wants. Like, all right, we get to run outside with our guns and shoot anybody. Here we go. No morality. Forget it.
When Murphy falls off into that pool full of zombies, that was just epic.
Yeah, that was so cool.
That was amazing in an awful sort of fashion.
We stopped traffic in Spokane, throwing a guy off the top of the hotel.
We sure did.
I can imagine.
Like, people were just, like, holding their phones out their windows.
No one's concerned. Let's just film this. We need
the best one is
documented
someone just
evidence.
Shouted from, like, down the block, is he going to be okay?
We're just filming. He's fine.
Oh,
we're acting.
Would have been funny. No!
Is he going to be okay?
We're not sure.
Oh, but to get back to this one, this was a really cool, tense moment, just having this other group. At the same time, I didn't necessarily think of them as that much of a threat because our group has been proven to be so competent. So when 10K ended up getting more, like, potentially mortally wounded, I was really surprised and I was taken aback.
That's a brilliant narrative decision. Because then you have the fight with the Zeros afterwards, and 10K has proven himself to be a threat with minimal ammunition and maximum distance. Improvised weaponry, and I mean, the guy carries a bag of, what are they, like, sprockets?
Gears.
And he's deadly with a slingshot. It wouldn't have been a fight if he'd still been in it, so removing him made that scene that much more intense. You needed him out of the way. It's the reason they removed Hulk from Civil War. Like, you know who's going to win. Same idea.
It's just not fair. Was that the idea behind it?
Well, a lot of it was we knew we wanted to put... we wanted to get 10K on the sub with Murphy and put him in jeopardy and just have something, you know, and just keep keep the audience knowing nobody is safe, and at any time, even if they're not going to kill, we might knock them out of commission, or, you know, it's the unexpected is what we're always going for.
On our show, we almost do the opposite of fan service. We see who everyone likes, and we, like, dangle them on a thread over a pit of alligators. That's a season three teaser for what we're going to have you by your shoelaces over some zombie alligator.
Okay. Well, we had the elevator, so.
Yeah, we had the elevator.
Yeah.
And you were right. This is how we get our zombie sharks.
Zombie sharks.
Can we have it, please?
That is what
I think
we
have to do. Whale, I guess, maybe dolphins because they're mammals. So that
you
could
guys
technically
know that there's an Italian zombie movie where a zombie fights a shark.
Is it
fights a shark?
Yeah.
Not Z-Area, is it?
No.
I don't remember the name, but yeah, there's an Italian zombie movie where a zombie fights a shark for some reason. I don't know
I'll
why.
Have to look
in the water, like a swimming zombie.
Yeah, it's just hanging out
Doesn't
in the bottom
like
of the ocean.
Doesn't seem like a fair fight.
I think the zombie came out on top, so.
Yeah, well, we have a killer whale fighting a zombie next season, so there.
After that,
hashtag Wilson. Blackfish.
Right.
Take that, Italian zombie movie whose name
I
don't remember.
Exactly.
But yeah, to kind of get back, I like the idea. And not only that, but you also have the tension that has been going on for most of the season between Murphy and 10K.
Yeah.
And so to have that built to this very unsettling, again, ambiguous end of, did he leave him behind? Like, did he intentionally leave him there to die? Or
what did we do? I forget. What did we
No, we, well, find out.
He's lying down in the raft so no one can see him.
I gotta remember to figure that out.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, we gotta figure that out.
I loved the line that Murphy said before he went with Dr. Murch, where they were like, don't worry, we'll take care of your man. He's not my man. He's just a byproduct of the apocalypse I couldn't seem to shake.
Right.
That was powerful. Even though they've been through things and they've needed each other to survive continuing on the journey since Cassandra, it's very clear that they still hate each other.
Oh,
so much.
He's the only one where Murphy's just like,
goodbye. Maybe. I don't know. But part of me thinks he won't admit to liking any of them, other than maybe Roberta. But
no, don't get attached. Yeah. It's the apocalypse. The second you get attached, we come in with scissors.
Well, everyone else, he's got at least two cares to rub together about them, but for 10K,
he's still rubbing something.
Well,
okay.
Oh, that came out.
Well, 10K has openly said that he's going to kill Murphy someday, but that day just happens
today
to not be
today. Today is not that day. Right. Tomorrow doesn't look good either.
Yeah, so even if Murphy does like him, he knows that, that we should probably steer clear of that kid, just to be safe.
I was expecting Murphy to bite him, not going to lie.
Hmm?
Yeah, you know he didn't.
That we saw.
You just never know.
You just never know.
Thus, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't put anything past you guys at this point.
Shooting on the sub did prove a lot of fun. We took like a splinter unit out to it wasn't actually a sub. It was a battleship of some sort. The U.S. Turner Joy out in Seattle,
destroyer,
Bremerton.
Nice.
And just it was so much fun. And we went out with a little splinter crew. John Hyams. One of our camera guys, Peter Green, it came out really cool.
Yeah, it actually looked like it was on a submarine for a lot of the shots. I very much appreciate it.
Yeah, the ship looks very similar to a sub and work around it. The rest of the stuff was stock footage that we doctored and blew up and things like that.
Told you that would work.
It looked really good. But since we're talking about the submarine, do we want to talk about like the village of the damned that's like hanging out on the submarine with their creepy glowing eyes?
What about those guys? What are we doing there? What is this Zona stuff?
Someone in chat, Alistair Allen, referred to Zona as Trump Island.
It's a little bit accurate. I think
that's accurate.
We could get him as a guest star, couldn't we?
Oh, God.
He'll do just about anything for attention.
No, because then we have to try to have him in the studio, and I don't want that.
No, we don't have to do that, but if you guys could, like, have him turn into a zombie, that'd be great.
Well, by next season, he won't be running for president anymore, so... Don't go there. Don't get going there, right?
Yeah. So Zona.
The show took a turn.
Yeah. So Zona ends up, we get a call back to the Area 51 episode, which I honestly wasn't expecting. Which, again, because that was something that we talked about when we wrapped up that episode. We're like, what is that exactly? What could that mean? Is that going to come back? Or is it just kind of, you know, the truth is out there and that'll be the end of it for that episode? But we actually do get a solid answer as to what Zona is. And the fact that they were testing variations of the zombie vaccination on Zona residents. And it looked interesting.
Oh, it's a side effect. But the vaccination's kind of wearing off, and now they're all starting to turn, including the president, leader...
The founder,
thank you, of Zona, who I guess is an important human being? Question mark? So we need you to make this work. And I love that Murphy's immediate thing was just like, I thought this was for everyone, not just the 1%. Eventually, yep. You know.
Murphy, 2016.
What was that great line he had about being a blood bag for the rich or something?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
It was a great line.
You think I'm just going to be bag of blood for a bunch of billionaires?
Yeah. It was a really great line. I loved it.
I love the second they turned around and you see just their glowing eyes, it was like, this is not good. And something also kind of to... just kind of note is he asked a couple guards to get out of the room and they didn't listen to him. So just because they have a variation of the zombie virus in the same way that he does, it doesn't mean he can control them.
Right, they don't have his antibodies. Right.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really have any connection to them.
Yeah, no, they had to be told to get out by somebody else, which, that was a terrible idea, Merch. That was a terrible idea.
But see, she doesn't know how bad he is, because she hasn't been watching the whole season, right, like two seasons, all the nonsense he's been
on. Don't have Netflix in the apocalypse.
Last time she saw him, he was just some dopey volunteer, so she didn't expect him to be bad.
She's like, I can't even tell if that's really him, and then he started mouthing off, that's him.
Yep. He said the line that he said in episode one, and I went back and watched it to see if it was done with the exact same inflection, and Keith Allen did wonderful. It was the exact same power and anger behind
Keith's
that.
Keith's a powerhouse, man.
It's like, oh, yep, now I recognize him.
Pike me or I will hunt you down and eat your brains.
He was practicing that. He, like, stepped away from the set to practice that, and I happened to, like, just, like, catch him, like, just out of the corner of my eye doing it. And just, he was like, oh, man, it was so intense watching him, like, prep for that. It was so cool.
He works hard. He doesn't miss many details, so he's...
I love when he made the choice to walk right in front of the lamp.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I gave him a little thumbs up from behind the scenes.
Especially with the makeup. It was a very powerful,
really, really cool
image.
That was a good choice. I want to know from you guys, did you guys always plan on bringing merch back, or was that something that you're like, maybe there is a CDC?
No, that was always the plan. Originally, they were going to get to California at the end of the first season.
And then and the sub was going to fire the nukes.
And then we decided to that it would be too soon to sort of change the nature of the show. And the network was afraid, like, well, what if everybody likes season one? We don't want to change it. We want to keep them on the road. So we stretched that out, that part of the story out longer. But, yeah, she was always coming back. And he was always going to kidnap her with, some plan in mind.
Can we talk about Kurian's head in the box?
I loved it.
Who it's wants to see him come back? Come on, we got to. Because the network does not want to see him come back.
See, I said that, and then she said, "Well, he kind of is a dick in a box."
Right. I didn't say that.
She said that.
I did not say that.
I was about to say. Put your head in a box, and then
credit where credit is
about.
Due.
Yes. It's one of the lovely M people in my life.
And Donald plays it so well, too.
He's
like Donald Corey.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
so much fun. Like that behind-the-scenes photo I have of him just like Hamleting with his head. my favorite thing is that head at one point was left. We actually had two of those dent heads, and they accidentally left him on a crafty table. And one of them tipped over into a thing of dip, and it was just like the most unappealing thing you've ever seen. It was this like kind of like pink chipotle colored dip, and it was just like, but yeah, it's like, oh. Donald still manages to pull it off even as just a head in the box.
So keep the zombie heads away from craft services, guys.
They left the head in the box on the porch. Yeah. He's still a player if someone comes by and is like, hey, I wonder what's that? Oh, God.
I know the network actually wanted to make, like a big note was, make sure you crush his head. We want to see a truck run over his head so he's not coming back. But then they didn't do it.
So is he coming back?
We ran out of time. We had the truck and everything, but yeah.
If I could make a request for season three, I would love a what's in the box joke. That would
what's
be
in the box?
So did you left the back door open on purpose for that one then?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
We don't close
we're
doors
the show that
we're
says yes.
Them.
Yeah, we're the show that says yes, so.
Speaking of that, it looks like we finally got to see who has been hacking the transmissions.
Yes.
As the Vietnamese, potentially?
Chinese.
Well,
Chinese. Is it
Asian?
Chinese?
A group of Asian, survivors
Asian
and
Legion.
Soldiers.
Yes. Because the epaulette is kind of very similar to the Vietnamese flag, but then it's also very close to the PLA emblem.
Well, that's very observant of you.
I don't think we thought it through that much, but I did.
We watched it together, and we were like, who are they?
And well, I Michelle said the Chinese, and they were like, I don't think we got enough to tell. And I was like, hold up. I'm just going to go back and pause and do some answer. Research.
I'm sure Ashley Russell, our fantastic wardrobe person, probably did the research. And
did
I'm
the
sure it's some sort of accurate down to like what it's the like, soldier, that rank of soldier would be wearing.
Let's make it accurate and then make one minor change
so that we're not actually representing anyone real.
And that's the other thing you have to keep in mind is that this is New World. World order,
yeah,
like
yeah.
In the same way that
right. It's not the China that's China today, right?
Yeah, it's exactly like in the same way that Zona was not the U.S. government anymore.
Zona's not Hawaii anymore.
No. It was a bunch right. of rich people who Aloha, were trying to preserve culture in so much as they saw it. So
right. It's like, trying to preserve their culture.
Their culture. I do love this. We got this from Renji in the chat. Kurian is finally the head doctor.
Yeah.
Yay! I love it.
He should have quit while he was ahead.
Thank you, Zach.
That was the appropriate response.
Well, he stuck his neck out for that one, and it just didn't turn out.
Stop it.
Nope.
No.
Stop it.
No.
Stay on this for 20 minutes.
We could.
He came out ahead.
In the end.
There's a million of them, I mean.
We had an episode of...
Was that like a million voices saying no?
No!
That was just Megan recorded a bunch of times.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Our live studio audience doesn't appreciate the puns.
Exactly.
We had an episode of Robots in Disguise that was all head puns for like 45 minutes.
It was the worst thing ever. It was beautiful. We had heard of them by then.
Oh, my God, yes.
Point being, to get back to what we were talking about was the Chinese coming in, or what... is left of the Chinese government or a new subset government. We don't know. But basically, they have attacked our group now and have taken them hostage. Well, our group plus one.
Escorpion.
No.
Hector.
No.
Hector.
Thank you for correcting me.
Soy Hector.
Soy Hector.
Do we want to talk about Emilio?
Can we talk about Emilio?
Emilio is
how many times have I said that just like that this season?
Several times.
Are you an Emilio fan?
I am. I watched Sons of Anarchy religiously.
Awesome.
And then when I found out he was going to be on this season, I was very excited because he's just a really great actor and a really cool dude.
He has fantastic fans everywhere.
Oh my God,
I mean, it's like when you hang out with the guy, it's like you can't go. I mean, he draws a crowd of all kinds of people,
so,
too.
So one thing I love is Emilio and I have become pals over the course of the season, and we go shooting together. There's a great range up in Spokane that they love us at, and so we'll go shooting. And it started out like before the show started airing, like everyone we ran into, they were always asking about Sons of Anarchy. Oh, we love you on Sons. We love you on Sons. But the last couple of times we've like gone out and done something, not one mention of Sons. It's all like, and Scorpion, what's up? Sting me, dude. It's like, and it's the best. And I love the level of enthusiasm is different too, because the Sons people are like, hey man, I love your show. My bike's out back. Cool to meet you. And then like our fans are like, yo, just like so into it.
Well, it's really cool because he was a big fan of Z Nation before he got on. And when I first met him on the set, he's like, oh, Doc, man, can I get a picture with you? I'm like, oh my God,
he's so enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's so into it. We love that guy.
He just, it was on his bucket list to be on a zombie show. And he goes,
that's awesome.
And it was funny because when we're right in the scene where we first introduce him in episode one this season, where he whips out episode two, I guess, where he's got the bazooka.
Yeah.
You know, yep. And when his son, he's got like an 8-year-old son, found out he was going to be on a zombie show. He goes, well, we got to figure out what your weapon's going to be. And the two of them sat and like, and they came up with like, you need a bazooka. And then when I told him like, yeah, in your first scene, you whip out a bazooka. He goes, yes, that's perfect. Like, can I tell my son it was his idea? And I said, absolutely.
And also, and the tattoo on his forearm is actually his son.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not an actual tattoo yet.
No.
But it is a printout, but it is actually of his son's face, which I always thought was such a nice detail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's really cool. And the way that it was incorporated into his backstory, too, mm-hmm. was really cool.
It was very powerful.
Everyone has their own problems.
Yeah, no, he really gives the show a nice, those scenes with him and Vasquez, mm-hmm. really took the show to, like, that was a whole thing we hadn't really been doing, you know, that kind of like really intense male drama. So,
and especially after seeing Vasquez's the flashback from last episode, where we were all just like, "I'm not okay. I am not okay.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
I wasn't crying. I was just crying. Ah!
I hadn't seen that. I was not on set that day, so I actually had not seen that.
That
one,
was
so
probably
like,
the funeral?
Darkest thing you guys have done.
Yes,
on
the funeral.
You guys have done some dark stuff. Yeah.
That'll make some BuzzFeed list.
But it was just like, oh no. No, they're not.
Yeah, that was a legit scary scene. I think that was like as scary as stuff gets.
One of the most traumatic things, that, hands down, that has happened on this show.
But that episode also speaks to like just how chill of a guy Doc is. Because like when he sees someone being eaten on his couch, he's like, just, hey man, do your thing. Have a nice time.
At first he's like, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
I loved the inner monologue you had.
Just some love on the couch, man.
Just running the list of things, right?
Now, yep. I do, and the way that he was able to piece together, oh my god, that's a zombie! Very, very quickly, it was fun.
Well, all the sound effects, the growling and the grunting and the drooling and all the whatever it was. Clued me in, I guess.
That's all like our director, Abram Cox, like Abram Cox and Dan Merchant in the loop room, just like groaning into a microphone.
To be the zombie.
That's got to be a fun ADR session. I do want to know, because Hector, not El Scorpion, is seemingly a part of the group, or at least is being associated with the group now that they've all been captured. Is there any chance of him actually being fully integrated into the group, or is there too much bad blood between them now?
Well, Carl, what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, he is going to go along for the ride, I think, next season, and be a part of the group, although it's not going to be easy or, you know, and his, you know, we'll explore the psychology of a guy that's had that much trauma and made that much of a personality change.
I love the redemption story.
I think a good redemption story. Yeah, that's why we did it, was just to see, you know, somebody make that kind of a turnaround, and also to see what happens with Vasquez on the other side of the coin, and mm-hmm. what happened to him when he ran off, and will they ever see each other again, and so we've got some really good stuff for them coming up next.
Our season 3 board's already looking interesting.
Well, we have a prediction in the chat. Will Vasquez be the one to find 10K on the shore somewhere?
Mm. That's a thought. Nobody's going to find 10K on the shore. Not on the shore, anyways.
Although it is very interesting, at least with Vasquez choosing to walk his own path now that the job is quote-unquote done or that the mission's over, because for the majority of the season, there's been a sort of romance going on between him and Warren.
You could just see Warren going, damn it. Now, at least this one's alive.
And I know that a lot of fans, myself included, were rooting for them to get together, and that hasn't happened yet.
Well, they did, but it was a dream.
Yeah.
So you still sort of got what you wanted.
Sort of.
No fan came up with, like, a good enough shipping name.
What was that?
I have no idea.
Oh, that was
I didn't hear what he said.
Stop blowing holes in my ship.
Yep, it's from Pirates of the Caribbean.
That was beautiful.
Oh,
thank you, Zach.
You're just on your A game today. I love
well
it.
Done.
No, it's part of my job helping run the Twitter is to report to the cast and crew onto what the most active ships are. So, like, 10 cast was a big one. All the, but no one came up with, like, the... There was Vasquez, there was Varin, which I thought was kind of Germanish.
That's the point where you need to stop doing the name mishmash and come up with something really interesting in terms of phrases.
I kind of love the name mishmash, though, in Reutland.
but it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
Because
that's our job as writers, is to come up with shippable names.
Season three. We've talked about him being added to the team. Was there ever, because Michael last week was talking about there being a discussion as to whether or not he died. What was the final?
Scorpion?
Yeah. What was the final thing of, like, no, we need to keep him around?
Emilio's a badass.
Well, also, the network wasn't sure. They didn't think we could pull off the redemption of him.
Really?
But I just knew that he could. You know, I knew. Because in some ways it's sort of, you know, the arc of the character kind of matches his life story.
Yes, it does.
When
he was doing that monologue,
oh yeah,
it was intense.
Right, because really, he had told me his story, and then we crafted that to be something that would really resonate with him.
Well, it did, and he went there, and it took a while for him to get it together to give that performance, because he kind of had a little meltdown. It was pretty beautiful. We were all just like, damn, he's good.
No, it's the kind of stuff when you see on set, you're just like, this guy is a goddamn pro.
Our show is unexpected, and one of the best unexpected things is when it gets really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what I'm saying? And it's like, it was this goofy zombie show, you're going along with wheels of cheese, and then all of a sudden we'll hit like a really dramatic, honest scene, and they really stand out because they're, you know, it's mixed in with all this other stuff, so it really catches people off guard, which is...
It really did. Caught all of us off guard.
Yeah, and those are the moments where you see what the show is really about, too. Yeah. So the rest of it's just, you know, window dressing and zombies.
those are the moments that make the audience completely go as well. So.
Right, and you catch people. And I think, you know, the Walking Dead does that really well, too. I remember early on watching that show when you knew it was a better show than you thought it was going to be. In some of the early episodes where they just had really dramatic moments, and all of a sudden you're going, oh, I wasn't expecting that at all, you know.
So. Yeah, but then we got the Wheel of Cheese. And
like, right, we go the other way. We tried to broaden things out.
Don't mess with the cheeses.
I prefer the sense of humor, not going to lie.
Yeah.
Well, to me, the difference is they're like zombie church, and we're zombie bowling. You know, so it's like, what do you want to do on a Friday night?
I'm sticking with the Lebowski side of things, man. Right. It's like
that's zombie like bowling. Your opinion, man.
I love that line. Yeah.
You say that on set every so often.
And a couple of dude-isms.
Good. Yeah,
Doc-isms are the new thing, man. Hashtag docisms will be big on Twitter next season.
Oh, I can't wait.
I would love those.
Yeah. No,
we have a couple of questions. This has come up in chat more than once.
Okay.
Citizen Z.
There's that's kind of a big one because he found out he'd been hacked. And he finally decides to leave. And I could have sworn, and this was just based on like the interviews from Comic-Con, just talking to the cast at Comic-Con, talking to you guys. I thought he was going to be leaving the base right away. I thought, and that he was going to have to try to find a way to meet up with Delta X-Ray Delta on his own. And when he didn't leave, I was confused.
Well, he left for my castle for a while.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so coming in, to have him come back to him once he killed all the zombies and then finding out he'd been compromised and then finally deciding to leave, I was like, took you long enough? What happened? Mm. But then we have this scene where he looks like he's freezing to death.
Frosty.
And it looks like someone is approaching him. Is that a hallucination? Is that somebody coming to his rescue? What do you guys think?
It's the astronaut. Bring Eric back on the show.
Oh, can we? Oh, that'd be great. He's a hoot.
The hallucinatory astronaut.
I think he's going to help him through this.
I think so. I think that should be the case.
Yes.
Well, we'll have to see. We'll see who it is and what they have in store for him. And
yeah, that's a season 3 casting decision. That's what that is.
Speaking of, we had a question from Mike_New York on Twitter. He wants to know which actors would you guys like to see star as guests next season? To everybody on the table.
Ooh, guest stars.
Well, I keep wanting to implement the policy that if they die on The Walking Dead, they're welcome in our apartment.
Right, yeah, yeah. Let's get Glenn over here.
No, it's, yeah. So he had one tweet that he put out that I was doing, like, fire damage on for, like, a week after.
I said that Glenn was going to be okay because Murphy had bitten him.
Yep.
I tweeted, don't worry, folks. Murphy bit him.
Walking Dead fans did not take that lightly. Enrique's Walking Dead group got really mad about that one on Facebook.
That's so funny. Oh,
people were pretty emotional this season.
But
you can't have a sense of humor, what's the point?
Well, that's why
I stopped watching Walking Dead.
I talked to the gals at Comic-Con, and they said Ryan Reynolds. Reynolds would be great.
Isaiah Mustafa.
Ooh, yeah. Mm. That could be cool.
Look at your zombie. Now back to me. Now back to Z.
I like the guest cast where we have people sort of playing themselves, too. Yeah. I mean, I think the George R. Martin one was... I think more people like that would be interesting to run into. I've wanted to run into a whole band of some sort.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be cool.
Just see them, like, busking on the side of the road.
The
right, yeah, there we go.
All I'm saying is...
Nickelback is zombies.
Lou Ferrigno walked into our writer's room at the Asylum in one day last season. That's all I'm saying.
So, that would be great.
Yeah, no, it would be fun. There's so much potential in our apocalypse just to... Like having, like, actual people show up is something I'm a huge fan of. But then also, yeah, just having, like... cool, interesting people, and we've had some great ones.
You guys had a lot of really great ones this season. A lot of really cool people come onto the show.
Well, it's fun bringing people back from kind of his greatest hits. Like Iggy this season was played by Justin Shankro, who played an 8-year-old character in Erie, Indiana back in the day.
One of the two kids.
And proved just as wacky and fun this season. But yeah, just
Anthony Michael Hall was good.
Anthony Michael Hall was great having. But yeah, just having interesting people throughout has been
maybe some reality stars from like the Food Network. Paula Deen as a zombie, or
Guy Fieri
from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
In the car.
You know,
with a machine gun on the back. Now
I just think the weirder the better. They don't have to be necessarily real actors. You know, just be a zombie and anybody can do that.
If we ever did butter zombies, we could bring in Paula Deen. That's for sure. We did cheese zombies, and so now we do butter, and then we got Paula.
Love it if you got the guys from American Pickers, like, still doing their job.
Yeah. Right.
Just doing their thing.
Or the Duck Dynasty guys. Plenty of good stuff up for grabs
in the apocalypse. Yeah.
Maybe some Ghost Hunter stuff.
Yeah, the Duck Dynasty guys. They could be like my relatives from...
would be so great.
Wouldn't that be great?
I say this all the time, but
I would watch that TV program.
So before we run out of time, which we're running out of time, I apologize, but we have this ending shot, and we wanted clarification on this ending shot because we cut to Lucy, who appears to be a few years older now. So we're like, is this a time skip? Did you guys pull a Twilight and she just ages very quickly? And there are two zombies next to her. Are those her pets? Or is that what's left of Ma and Pa Kettle? Because if you look at the Z Nation wiki, they list them as Ma and Pa Kettle, but they don't look like Ma and Pa Kettle.
Oh, no, they're not Ma and Pa Kettle.
Okay. Yeah. It's nice to get clarification.
They were, because D.C. Douglas was super excited about potentially being back for season 3, and I don't.
Yeah, we'll see Ma and Pa Kettle and much more Lucy next season.
They were her playmates,
and she is aging fast. So
everybody knows that the zombie babies age faster.
Yeah,
scientific consensus, it's a scientific fact. So they grow up so fast,
Hashtag Z Nation science.
Well, originally. It was written that you were supposed to hear. Yeah, you were supposed to hear Ma and Pa Kettle talking over this scene.
Okay, but I guess it was just more cryptic to just sort of leave it.
Well, the scene came out better because originally it was like we have to find a girl who's as young as possible. So like 3 was about it, and it's like, oh, we're never going to get a 3-year-old to do anything. And that little girl was great.
She was great.
She was great, and it's her uncle is playing the zombie, and the female zombie is her mom.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, and she's been to the set a bunch of times because the uncle, Jeremy Lindholm's, played like a dozen zombies. Yeah, so he's always in there.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Right, so she's been to the set and seen zombies before.
Family.
So she was just playing with her uncle and mom dressed up, and...
she wasn't scared or anything.
Not at all. No, I think she had a great time.
You know, Corinne, our lead makeup person, posted this great photo of just her like painting. Yeah, because
she painted Corinne while Corinne was painting her blue.
I saw that.
That's adorable. All right, well, we are really short on time. Do we have time for predictions, Zach? Real quick.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
No light show. Take that as a yes. Okay, so the group is fractured. Some of them have been captured by a crazy random military, and Lucy is aging very, very quickly. Guys, thoughts on next season? Go.
Poker face, quick.
Why did you skip to me? That's not
because you're at the end of the table and we swing back in, so go.
That's cheating. I haven't formulated any thoughts on this subject. I would love to learn more about Black Summer. The end. Katie.
Vasquez and 10K going off and doing their own little thing and eventually coming back with the group. And guys, I don't ship Addy and 10K. I'm sorry. I don't see it. No.
I like the idea of Hector now being a part of the group. I think that's going to make for some very interesting dynamics. I think Murphy's going to try to do his own thing for a little bit, and our group is going to try to catch up to him to stop them. That's my thought. But yeah, that's all I've got for this season.
All right, we know what we're not doing now. Got to get back there and make those changes.
All right, so do you guys have any other upcoming projects or anything that you guys are working on that you'd like to plug?
It's all Z Nation all the time for me. I'm like chained to this
remodeling my bathroom and trying to get that finished.
I think it's just like squeezing in a little bit of life in between these things.
A little bit of life. I got a trip to the dump I have to make. Yeah.
What? Yeah, it's like cleaning your room. You know, it's like,
I'll be posting a behind-the-scenes gallery of exclusive Z Nation photos on my website, outlierimagery.com. That's also my my handle on all social media is at outlierimagery, and you can find a lot of Z Nation exclusives through that.
Can't wait.
Very good.
Carl, where can people find you?
At Unreal Carl.
Fantastic. Russell, where can people keep up with you?
At Hajj Mahal. There's no other thing part of that.
Yeah, no.
At Hajj Mahal. That's a Twitter thing, right?
Right.
Yeah, yes. And it's Hajj with no E, so it's HODGMAHAL. On Twitter sometimes.
Fantastic. Yeah. Michelle.
You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. All of my shows are on hiatus, but I know we're going to have a Ruby in January, and it's going to be great.
Guys, I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's THEMENGEIN. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I also write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Thank you to everybody on the hashtag. Thank you to everybody on the live chat. We will see you all next season.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye, AfterBuzzards.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.